Let's begin with Pasuk Yud Aleph. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Atober and Ami, L'shoyber v'noisai. Okay, that's pretty much where we're up to. Atober and Ami, L'shoyber v'noisai, Lama Selachni Mi. We began this yesterday. We read the Targum of the school. We didn't do the Rashis yet, so let's just go through it quickly again. Atober and Ami, L'shoyber v'noisai, Lama Selachni Mi. Naomi said to her daughter-in-laws, Ruth and Arpah, return. Lama Selachni Mi, why are you returning with me? Why are you going with me? Do I have children in my womb? Who else would give there? If you come back with me to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be an outsider. No one is going to want to marry you, as it says in the pasuk. Lo yavoi amoni umaavi b'kahal Hashem. The only chance you have of getting married is me. Because I have a track record. I've already given you two of my sons. So maybe if I would become pregnant and have more children, there's a possibility, because in the past I've done it, I might do it again. But there is no one else that's going to give you their sons in marriage. And the best you could expect is from me, but me, I'm already too old. And even if I would become pregnant and have children right away, you would not be eligible to marry them. So one more time, do I have children by my eye? That would be to you for anoshim. Okay, so we did already this in the Targum, so we'll just go into Pasuk Yud Beis because it's coming up with some Rashis. Shoyva v'noisai, she again repeats herself, she says, return, leichna, go. Ki zakanti mihiosli, she's repeating this theme again, I am too old to get married. Ki amarti, even if I would say in my heart, yeshli sikva, even if I were to say to myself, there's hope for me. Naomi here is saying, let me fantasize. Make believe there is still hope for me to remarry and have more children. Ki amarti, yeshli sikva, gam hoyisi halayla leish. And if I would be able to marry tonight, and I would have marital relations, and I would have children, v'gam yoladeti vonim. Now, we'll see in a moment, Rashi says, the similar translation is, it's a continuation, and I would also, and this marriage that would conclude with marital relations would result in conception and birth. But that's not the way Rashi understands the pasuk. Rashi understands v'gam yoladeti vonim, make believe I already was pregnant, I already had children, but they were small children. You would have to wait for them at least 13 years, and you're not willing to wait for a long period of time in order to get married. But let's see Rashi. Rashi really elaborates, explains everything in very great detail. Pasuk Yud Beis, ki zakanti bios le'ish she'enos se'lo, I'm too old to get married. V'oilid bonim, and to have children, v'tinasu lohem, and for you to marry them. It's too late for me to have more children and give you these children in marriage. Now Rashi is the question, how would they be allowed to marry Rus and Naomi? But Rus and Naomi would be an eshes ach shloi bimkoi mitzvah. You're not allowed to marry. It's an isur koris for a person to marry his wife's sister. So these, Daraisa, that's a Daraisa, that's an aunt. You're not allowed to answer. It's a sister-in-law. How in the world can Naomi make such a statement when this statement goes against Kol HaTorah Kula? It's a last week's parasha, the parasha Arayos, parasha Achraimos. It is a sister-in-law. This is Rashi's question. What is Naomi saying? Maybe I will get married, I will conceive, I will give birth to sons, and those sons will be your husbands. Will be your, that cannot possibly be, because these sons would be your brother-in-laws. And a brother-in-law is asur when it's not in the place of yibum, midin, karis. It's a prohibition of karis. So Rashi comes to answer that question. She'enom asurim lochem. The sons that I will give birth to will not be forbidden marriage to you, even though they are your brother-in-laws. The einchem asurim lohem. Rashi says it both ways. They are not forbidden to you, and you are not forbidden to them. I don't know why Rashi says it both ways. It's really one and the same. Mishum eshes achiv shlohoyo b'olamo. And maybe you'll suggest the reason why there's a potential why they would be permitted is because of the mitzvah of yibum. But the mitzvah of yibum only applies when the brothers were alive at the same time as the ones who ultimately died. And since these two were not alive at the time when your husbands were alive, it's called an eshes ach shelo hoyo Now we discussed yesterday another reason why there's no yibum is because it's yibum is only a brother from the father, and these would be brothers from the mother because Avimelech is no longer alive. So Rashi just, according to most of the commentators, Rashi just picked up on one of multiple problems why there would not be a mitzvah of yibum. Rashi focused on the primary reason, the most fundamental reason why there cannot possibly be a mitzvah of yibum is because the children that will be born later did not exist in the lifetime of your husband, and therefore there's no mitzvah of yibum. Lefi, and therefore the question now it comes back, so why then it should be forbidden, because there should be a prohibition of karis for a woman to marry her brother-in-law. Even from the mother, yes, Minatara, yes, to mother, even from the mother. So the answer is, so Rashi says something very important, which a lot of Mepharshim struggle with. And Rashi here has no shame in making the statement, has no apologies. Lefi shelo hayu lemachloin v'chilyon kiddushin bohen. From the Torah's perspective, machlon and chilyon were never really married to Rus and Orpah. Why? Shenochrios hayu. They were non-Jewish girls. When Machloin and Kilion entered the land of Moab, they married non-Jewish girls. And according to the Torah, there was no kiddushin. They were not legally married. V'lo niskayru. He makes it clear as day, Rashi's opinion. There was no gerus. They were goyim, which was a shocking thing, because most of them, unfortunately, not like Rashi, they were megayir, and the gerus was problematic. But there was a gerus. They went through the motions, at least. The question was it a sincere gerus? Did they really understand what they're getting involved in? If there was gerus, Einochnami, I'll ask you better. Haman was Jewish. Okay, right. The Chassam Sofer says Haman was originally an Eved Kanani. He was Mordechai's Eved Kanani, and Haman or Mordechai would open up his shirt and would show that etched on his chest was the Shtar Ksuba that.
Yeah, I want to say even more than that. Agag.
Yeah. Was also Jewish.
He had a relationship with Jewish man. Up until this point, there was no gayers, but once was.
I know Rabbi Reisman talks about it. He says that there is, even after Geirus, there's like a hachana.
Right.
And because of that hachana.
Then we retroactively we can see if it was sincere. If a woman gets married, most Geirus today in America are because someone wants to get married. Yeah. That's like 99% of the time they accept it, but there's always a trial. Like he's saying there's a trial period. Trial period is, well, let's see where this ends up. If it turns out that the person, the marriage doesn't work out, or they get married and they're not religious, and they go back to their old ways, that goes to show that it was not a sincere gerus. Okay, but here Rashi doesn't apologize. Rashi doesn't say there was a gerus and there was an afchana period and there was questions. Rashi just says it clear as day, there was no gerus. They were nochuyos. The Targum said the same thing in the beginning of the Sefer, the exact same expression, they were nochuyos. The Achshav hin bos l'skai are now the coming for the very first time to be when they say later, we're going to return with you to your nation, that means for the very first time they're coming to convert. And that again, that just makes the question much greater. How could it possibly be that Elimelech, the leader of Klal Yisrael, a holy person, his sons went so far to marry non-Jewish girls? Is a shocking thing to understand. But that's what Rashi says, which Rashi,
why is it hard to understand that?
It's hard. Elimelech, we're living during the time of the Shoftim. We're not living in the 21st century. The Gra says, the Gra writes that the Gra who only lived how many years ago?
1797.
So 250 years ago, the Gra says that he could have a hasaga, a little bit of what it was like to be a Tana, the Kedusha of a Tana. You can have a Hasaga. Going to Tanoim lived 1,000 years. Almost 2,000 years ago, the Tanoim. Almost 2,000 years ago. So the Gra, 200 years ago, he made a very shocking statement. You can have a Shtigl Hasaga, what it meant to be the Kedusha of a Tana. But to be a wood chopper, we're talking over here, below minimum wage, or water carrier, a person living during the time of the Nevi'im, it's beyond understanding. The Gra himself, there's no way you can understand the holiness, the Yirah Shemayim, the Amuna that the simplest person had living during the time of the Nevi'im and the Shoftim. Yes, Zelum Azdabar Elokim. That because Hashem, the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah always parallels the desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a shocking thing. Maybe that's all part of what it means, that the higher you go, the lower you fall. That thing that they were, so they came from such holy stock. These people, they were the daughters, they were the sons of Elimelech, and they come to Moab. Zelu, they went to the extreme and they married girls that were part of a nation that Hashem said, Lo Yavoi Bikahal Hashem. It's a very shocking. That's
why would Naomi, in other words, they never made any care
Right. Oh, that's what right. That's exactly what Rashi says.
Right.
Exactly what Rashi over here says if I would become pregnant and have children, you think that possibly you would want to marry them. So Rashi is saying, what do you mean? Isn't there a problem of you not allowed to marry a brother-in-law? For a woman to marry her brother-in-law, it's a chiyuv karis. So what is Lami suggesting?
It sounds like it's perish lo b'loilim, like, you know, that not you would think otherwise, that since they weren't around when your brother, your husband died, then
that's why
there's no
right.
Nothing to do with that.
So therefore, there's a chiyuv. So there's still a chiyuv karis. So that was maybe you would think the reason why you would want to wait until we learned this yesterday. The reason why you would want to wait 13 years because you want to be mechabed your husbands. You want to do the mitzvah of yibam. And doing the mitzvah of yibam, you'll go bring a person into the world that will carry their name. So you're going to wait. Problem is, there is no mitzvah of yibam in this situation because it's an eish ach shlohaya bi'olama. So there is no mitzvah of yibam. So we have a more fundamental problem that there's a chiyuv karis. Because they're brother-in-laws. So Rashi says, no, there's no chiyuv karis because they're not even Jewish. And being that they're not even Jewish, the marriage was not legitimate to start with. So now there's no prohibition for them to marry. So that's why Nami is just talking to them.
But if that means, according to this, they don't hold from this that before the Matan Torah, even applied to any relative.
Yes. That was before Matan Torah. Now we're much after. No, Boaz did not do Yibum. Boaz,
no.
There was a Goel. That's halach in redeeming the field. No. That's only in monetary loss, in redeeming the field. The Goel was just to redeem. Okay, there was no, absolutely, according to all opinions, there was no halachic Yibum. And halacha, there is an idea which is being alluded to over here, and we learned yesterday, is that even though technically there is no halacha vibam, in the picture, the spirit of the law, by a person marrying a relative in a permissible way, and then having a child and naming the child after the deceased, you are giving a name to the person, and that in some way is like a spiritual yibam, but it's certainly not a halachic yibam. And when it comes to halacha, you have to, the most first important thing you follow is the halacha. And since there is no yibam, there's a prohibition of marrying such a woman. So how then is Naomi suggesting that there's a, theoretically it's possible that her sons will be able to marry Rus and Arpa? The answer is, we come on to the ultimate yesod, is that they were not Jewish. There was never marriage to begin with, so therefore there would be no prohibition for them to marry sons that she would give birth to in the future.
Tzadikim didn't want to bring someone from Eretz Israel.
Because Eretz Yisrael to Moab, why would you want to?
Well, you know, you say, well, you know,
the Torah discourages. The Torah discourages this. The Torah is intermarriage. These are non-Jewish girls.
No, I'm not talking about the girl. I'm talking about Tzadikim. We're talking about Elimelech and Naomi there. Tzadik, Rashi from Tzadik and Tzadik. Why didn't they make an effort to send someone to Eretz Yisrael or wherever to bring?
We don't do that. The Torah discourages this.
To bring a shidduch from Eretz Yisrael.
Bring a shidduch
for sons.
Right.
Oh, because they didn't want.
What?
They didn't want the sons. The sons said.
The sons were Rishon then, basically.
Basically,
yes. Yeah, that's what we're saying. They die. They die because you can't judge them. But yeah, that's how often do you see in the news today? You find a nice a politician or, you know, different public figures who marry non-Jewish girls. There aren't enough. I'm not talking about the Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. There aren't enough Jewish. I'll give you an example. Bush. He was a sweet guy. Everyone loved him. Bush's Bush W, his spokesman, his Ari Fleischer. Who'd Ari Fleischer? He's a nice Jewish boy. Who'd he marry? A shiksa. Okay, that's before my time. I don't know, but everyone, I remember all the comments. Here you got a guy, Fleischer. Everyone looking at him. He's not Shomer Torah Mitzvos, but he's Jewish enough. I think he's conservative or reform. I think he go back a generation or two. I guarantee you'll find people that all Shomer Shabbos.
Jacob Javits.
I'm not familiar with
Jacob Javits, Senator of New York.
And who'd he marry?
The Javits.
Yeah.
His wife was a shiksa.
Is Arthur Wiener? Is Wiener? Wiener? Is he Jewish?
No. Yeah.
And who did he marry? An Arab. He couldn't find a Jewish girl. He couldn't find a Jewish girl. Hillary Clinton's assistant, right? There's an Arab. I remember the comments when they got married.
Not Jewish.
What? Oh, Anthony Weiner?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not. Okay, so it's not a kasha then.
That's why his name's Tony.
Tony.
Anthony. If there was really gayers, then they only would not have sent them back to their parents. He would not have suggested.
Right, at this point in time, it was assumed
that there was no gift.
It was assumed at this point in time that it was not possible for a person from Amon Umoyev to come into Klal Yisrael. Lo Yovoy Amoni Umoyavi Bikahal Hashem. It only was accepted much later in Klal Yisrael. Later, Amoni, well, not like Boaz. No, Boaz, no, right away. Boaz, right away.
Actually,
what?
Back again.
According to.
I don't think there was a problem.
But they never fully accepted. There was always opposition. But Boaz took 10 people. That's why, according to some of the commentators, that he took 10 people in order to be mefarsim the halacha, that this is the halacha l'moshe misinai, amoini v'loy amoinis, mayav v'loy mayavis. But it was not accepted yet at this point in time, and therefore Naomi assumed, she made a calculation, that you have no chance. You have no chance to come back in Eretz Yisrael and marry someone because you're not Jewish. My sons died because they married you, and the only one that will be foolish enough to make this mistake and give you their sons in marriage will be me, because I did it already.
Right.
How do you know he's going to hit me? You tell the police he's going to hit me. This guy, well, I need protection. I need to be protected. This bully's going to hit me. The policeman says, how do you know he's going to hit you? Because he did. He did.
And now he could have babies if she should have children.
Yeah.
Until they become aged to marry.
Yeah. She'll convince them. It's a good shidduch. It's a good shidduch, right? So Naomi is saying, I'm the only one that will be foolish enough to do this. Because I did it already. I did it once.
Are we trying to get them on their side or not? I lost my 2 points because of you.
No, she was saying that even in the best scenario, I would forget about what happened to my sons. I would repeat my averus once again. And I would be the only one that would do this. But you got to realize, you're going to have to wait 20 years. Right. 20 years from now, you're not going to be around 20 years from now for this. You're not going to sit around.
My daughter-in-law said something like that to me.
Yeah.
What?
It's kind of insulting.
Right. Yes, it is. According to some, we'll see the even greater insults. We're going to see some later on. She was very harsh to them. She basically said to them, all my problems are because of you.
Right.
That's what she said. Kimar li ma'od mikem. Mikem means, according to what it says here,
it's
in one
from
of the.
You.
Because of you. You, my daughter-in-laws, are the source of all my problems. Okay, now you want to know why the Gemara says a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law hit each other. You see it right here. This is what she said. You, my daughter-in-laws, are the source of all my troubles. Because of you, my husband died. Because of you, my sons died. Because of you, I have no parnasa. Everything is your fault. And they cried. She succeeded in torturing them.
What a mother-in-law.
Okay, let's go further.
Is this holding up the mother-in-law?
No, it's not. Everything here...
According to some of Arshim, this is the first child of Tshuva.
This is Geirus, right? We learn all the laws of Geirus are learned from the Sugya of Rus. Everything, every little detail.
It says
that
when David HaMelech,
yes,
you know, when he killed God,
yes. Yeah.
So what do you call it? So Shaul HaMelech asked Well, I had promised my daughter.
Yeah, Michal Bashal, yeah.
Yeah, who is he? So he said...
David.
You have to...
Is he even kosher to come into Klal Yisrael? Okay,
so
we're going to come to that.
Shmuel, and Shmuel, this is what Shmuel wrote.
He said that this is the response. Sefer Rus is the response that the Yichus of David is okay. The Yichus of the whole Sefer Rus, according to some, was written in order to show the halacha not, the David is legitimate. The legitimacy of David, Moyavi v'loy Moyavis. Let's go further. So we have over here, let's finish up the Rashi. The Rashi says, Kimati Yeshli Tikva. So the Ami says, even if I said to myself, who is she speaking to? Kiamarti, she's talking to herself. Yeshli Tikva. What does it mean, this hope? Ki afilu omar li libi. Even if my heart spoke, my heart said to me, my heart said to my mind, that don't worry, Yeshli Tikva li nase od, it's possible to remarry. It's not just because your husband died you can marry Zivik Sheni, Vulaled Espanim, and you could have more children. Vegam Hayisi Halai Lilish, and even if my plan would be implemented immediately, tonight I would find a Zivik and I would get married. Vyoiser Mikan, furthermore, Afilu Harisi Halaila Zichorim, even if tonight I would conceive. Now here's the next words of Rashi which changed what would be the simul shot. Vigam Yoladiti Vanim. Now according to, if we wouldn't see this Rashi, you would think it means if everything would go according to plan, I would have hope. I would want to get married. And then I would get married. And I would conceive. And my conception would produce healthy children. Okay, she's not a young woman here. And her conception would produce healthy children. V'gam yoladeti banim. But that's not what Rashi says. Rashi says, oy-o, afilu kvar yoladeti banim. Let's say I already had children. Let's say make-believe. Let's put aside my fantasy. Let's make-believe I already have little children. I have toddlers in kindergarten. And I would be willing to give them to you in pre-1A, be willing to give them to you in marriage. Would you wait for them 20 years until they're ready to get married? You're not going to go wait 20 years. You're not going to hold yourself back. And therefore, this is an interesting chiddush, how Rashi, I don't know what, but that's how Rashi learned shot in the pasuk. Oh, what did you say? Yeah?
Because he says, Yaladati is past tense.
Yeah?
He should have said, Madame Eileen.
Yale in the future tense. Okay, very good. So therefore, Yolati means a new scenario. Let's talk about a new scenario. New scenario is I already had little children. You're not going to wait 20 years for them to get married. Okay, let's go further. So therefore, now let's go to the Pasuk Yud Gimel. Halohein tisaberna. Are you going to have hope? Sivru al Hashem. Rashi quotes, we say in Ashrei, Sivru al Hashem. Look up, you have hope in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Will you have hope? Tisaberna. Ad Asher Yigdol, until you become adults. Halohein teogena. Will you become agunos? Will you allow yourself to be imprisoned? Rashi has two translations. I'm not sure. Or in a circle, to be confined. Will you teagena levilti hayos leisha? You're not going to be married all of these years. You're going to wait 20 years. In 20 years, you're going to be all alone without being married to a man. Al benoisai, no, my daughters. Kimar li maod mikem. I have enormous pain. We'll learn now simply because of you. Because of you, I recognize all of my problems have come. Ki yotza vi yad Hashem, the hand of Hashem has come forth against me. Let's first see Rashi. Pasik, Yud Gimel, Haloin tisaberna. Are you going to wait, have a bitmia? This is a rhetorical question. Shema lohem titzapena. Anasher Yigdalu, are you going to wait until they become adults? Lashon Sivro al Hashem Elokov, to have hope. Ashrei, to have hope upon Hashem, his God. Sivro, so you are going to have hope, yearning for these children to become adults and marry you. It's ridiculous. You're not going to hold yourself back for memory. Teogena. What does the mean word teogena? So Rashi says it comes from the word og. Og means a circle. You're going to limit yourself. Lashon osur v'kala. To be imprisoned. Kmo og uga, a person draws a circle, the omad b'soicha. The yesh poishin l'shoin igun. Now, I don't know what that means. What does igun mean relative to og? I thought I couldn't figure this out. I don't have an English translation. I apologize. Anyone know what the difference is? L'shoin igun. What does igun mean? Aguna? So how is that different than the word og? Og is imprisonment. A woman who's an aguna means that she is held back. She is imprisoned.
Chained.
She is chained. So what is igun? How is igun different than the word og? I don't know. I have to get an English translation of this. Lashon igun, v'lo yitachid. If it means igun, Belinda will come back to this tomorrow, and I'll have to look it up. V'lo yitachid. It cannot mean the word igun. Whatever the word igun here means, however, the word igun is different than the word og. Why shemkin ha'ila linaked hanun dogesh? The nun in the word te'ageno should have a dot. Whenever a letter has a dot, it's really equivalent to a double letter. Then the pasuk would be written te'ageno nino. Ni-na.
You say it all the time in
Halal.
Savuni
gam sivavuni surrounded
savuni
me.
Savuni and sivavuni are the same. One is kiflayim.
Sivavuni, to surround.
Savuni and sivavuni are the same word. It's
okay.
One is
the same. The dot inside makes it as if there's a double nun.
You should have been sivavuni.
Okay, so the word igun means something different than og. Og means a circle, and in this context it means to be in prison. Igun means, maybe means anchor. Anchor also means to be in prison. I'm not sure. Believe that we'll look it up. Okay, let's go to the next words. Rashi, ki yotzi biyad Hashem, Omer Rabbi Levi, kol mokom shenema yad Hashem, makas deverhi. It means that her husband died from a plague. A plague, some type of virus, or whatever, possibly an epidemic. Ubinyinav lekulam, hine yad Hashem hoyo. One of the ten makos was dever. There was a plague, and it is introduced with the word Yad Hashem. So we make a gzeirah shavah. Here it says Yad Hashem. There it says Yad Hashem, and therefore it means that her husband died from the maka of dever. Okay, now let's go look at the Targum again. I know we did it yesterday, but I want to repeat this because there's some important points. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Targum. Okay, the pasuk. Okay, the Targum says Dilma lohoin atun minton. Dilma means, are you? Is it possible? Atun you misinon? Are you going to wait adi your bone until they're going to be adults? They're going to be adults. Now, are you going to wait until these two children, these two imaginary children that I'm going to conceive and give birth to in my fantasy mind, is going to become an adult, so that you'll be itisa? We really did this yesterday. Kitisa dinatua liyavam kalil lemispa liintu, like a woman who waits for a yavam kalil, a little child. Targum over here is making believe, but let's make believe over here that you want to be in the kind of the midst of Yibam. You want to fulfill Yibam, but it's like a Shomeres Yavam for a child who's very small. If a person dies and he leaves over a wife with no children, and he has a brother that's a baby, an infant, so the law is the woman is an aguna. She has to wait until the child becomes 13 years old to do chalitza or yibam. Do you want to put yourself in that situation to become to marry them, to marry these women? Habidil means because of them. Atun yosfan agimon, because of these you're going to sit as an aguna. Agunois bedil de lo lemehevi lemisman legvar, to withhold yourself from marrying a man. It's ridiculous for you to go sit around and wait 20 years until I'll have children and you'll marry them. And now she goes on to say bivou. Bivou means I make a request. See, here he's eating more words into the pasuk. Bivou viratai, I make a request of you, my daughters. Lo simoru nafshi, don't make my life more difficult than it is. Don't make my neshama bitter. Arum, because morir li yatir minchoin, because I have more. There's already more bitterness to me. Yimarli, I have more. There's more bitterness in my life to you. Why? Arum nafkas bi macha min kadam Hashem, because Hakadosh Baruch Hu has sent forth a macha. Macha means exchange the ches for a chof. Hashem has sent forth a macha to smite me from before Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and I already have enough problems. I already have enough problems in that my husband has died, my children have died, I have no parnasa, and if you're going to come now and wait another 20 years to marry, I'm going to feel the guilt of what of your situation, and that's going to add insult to injury. Okay, now, there is an important word here, that is... the word halohain, yeah.
They never said anything that they were going to go with her. And she's giving this whole speech before... it's a pro-op.
They did say she's going to go with her. Go back. It says very clearly they're going to go with her. Pasuk Yud, v'atoymar no lo ki itoch no shuv li'aneich. Go back to Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Vav. We discussed this yesterday, the difference between the word Imah and Itah. They went with her.
But they never said, you're.
It's clear they said they're going to go back with her. Okay, now, okay, there's another important point over here. Okay, there's an important point over here where the Farshan says, where it says, Halohain. Halohain, it should be said Halohem. The word Halohain is B'losh HaNekeva. Halohain, Tisaberna. It should be said Halohem. Are you going to wait for my two sons? Why is it written B'losh HaNekeva when it should be written B'losh HaZachar? So there's a Kabbalistic interpretation is, now I don't know exactly what this means, is that children that are born in a situation that is not 100% are not successful. A successful man is a man that acts like a man. A man that acts like a woman. I'm not talking about hormone issues. I don't know how Chazal. No, there is such a thing. There's a lot of Kabbalah about Rachman Lislan people. You know, thing to step back. There's nature versus nurture. It's a very big debate about these inyanim, gays, lesbians, nature versus nurture. How do Chazal look at these things? Do they look at it? We know one thing for sure, the Torah says it's a to'eva. Clearly it appears that the Torah is referring to a situation where a person engages, he trains himself to behave in this way of nurture. That luchar. What about a person, Nachman Litzlan, the doctor tells you, he didn't bring this upon himself. He didn't act as a disgusting person and engage in these things until he enjoyed it. But rather, this is how he was born. So how does the Torah deal with such a type of person? What's the Torah?
It's the act.
But let's say a person. There are people that are born with hormones that are just not in sync.
Somebody's born without a hand. He can't put on filter.
Exactly. It's not his fault. It's not his fault. But okay, these are very difficult questions. But here there are. Okay, Alpi Kabbalah. They say such things. I've heard such things as people saying is that there are male neshamos and there are female neshamos. And if you find a situation where a person, again, we're talking about nature, I'm not talking about mushchasim of nurture, I'm talking about nature, you find a person that has hormones, the doctor says under the microscope, this person, Rachman Litzlan, has hormones where he's a female hormones in the body of a male, there's such a principle in Kabbalah that it could be that he has the neshama of a nekeva that entered into the guf of a zachar. And they say this with gerim. A ger is the neshama of a Jew that somehow found its way into the guf of a goy. Or you find, Rachman Litzlan, neshamas of Jews who go off the derech, and Alpi Kabbalah, it's a neshama of a goy that somehow made its way into the guf of a person. Okay, these are things that I don't, just repeating words. What? Right, they switched. So there was.
Because she had the hormones, she was supposed to be a boy, she had the hormones of a boy, so she went out like guys do.
Yeah, in a chanami, it's not
right.
A tomboy. Today, this is making the headlines. These very strange things, which transgender, it's transgender. This is in the headlines, and people are, you have a crazy world where a child has a right to decide until it's right to decide. If you crazy things, listen, there are certain things that are totally crazy, and there are certain things that people are very sick. It's a hormonal imbalance, chemical imbalance. and whatever it is, it is. But this topic of discussion, one of the sources that is used as a topic of discussion is this very pasuk. You go to every single pasuk in Tanakh, you're dealing with either men or females, and you find over here, and you find the pasuk been written in the what would appear to be in the wrong gender. Here it says halohein tisaberna, but we're dealing here with men. Why are they being called halohein? So the Zohar addresses this. Now the Zohar, I don't know what the Zohar says, I can't even read the words, but the Zohar basically says is that since over here in the Ami is giving birth to children late in old age, something along these lines, and there are studies, I once heard something like this on the radio, such studies, different, when a woman gives birth at different stages in her age, what are the likelihood that there are going to be problems in this matter? The Zohar, it seems, saying, since the Ami over here is saying, I'm already an old lady, I don't know how old she was at this point in time. I'm beyond my childbearing years. And if I'm going to now take a risk and conceive, it might result in children that are not capable of fathering children. Halohein. My children are going to be like Nikevos. I may have sons, but my sons will not necessarily be able to father children. Exactly. Birth defects.
Well, she's got to be at least 50.
Right. Whatever. So she's saying, well, today, you know, the Baruch Hashem, the things they can do today, things they never can do before. But there is, I'm just throwing out raw ideas. She's saying over here, my daughter-in-laws, what do you want to do? You want to go and you want me to get married and have children? You want to wait for them? Even if everything goes according to plan, I get married tonight and I conceive and I have sons, who says these sons will not be born with birth defects that will prevent them from being able to father children? They'll be like Nikevos. You want to get married so you can have children. So they have to be males. You're female, they're male. But if my children are going to be halohein with the nun, then we defeat the purpose of this entire issue.
Now, That's what the nun is. The gum.
The gam yolati, even if I already had children, halohein. Who says halohein? Who says, oh, you want to say Sybil? Who says I'll have male? Maybe I'll have females. But the Zohar is saying here, he's saying over here, the zeh shamar af im. Okay, what he talks about over here, children that are born derech neis. He talks about this idea that a person that's born derech neis cannot necessarily have children. There is such, whatever this means. So that is what alluded to in the nun instead of the men.
Well, that's why
there are a lot of questions. I'm just throwing out some raw ideas to try to make it a little bit more interesting.
It's parallel.
Okay, it's a stylistic solution to the question. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Now there's a grah. The Gra over here says, and there's an amazing. I did the Rashi. No, I did the Rashi Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel. We went through the whole Rashi.
Yeah, yeah.
Went through the whole Rashi with the ego and the. Okay, now there's a beautiful Gra. The Gra says, Ki marli ma'od mikem, ki yotze biyad Hashem. The Gra says that generally, when a person is in an ace tzara, We see this when a person is sick, Rachman al Tzlan, or has no parnasa, it's human nature to become very selfish. Everything revolves around yourself. Person that Rachman is sick, he's not well, you're worried about yourself, where am I going to get food, who's going to take care of me? It's very hard to think about someone else's tzara. The ability for a person who himself is in a matzav of tzara to think outside and think about someone else, that's a very great madrega. And that's exactly what Nami here said. I have a lot of problems. I got a lot of problems. My husband died, my children died, I have no parnasa, I have nothing. I'm going to leave this world with nothing. But yet she was able to, so human nature is such a person to think about themselves. I'm all, you wrapped up in yourself in such a matzif. She said, I have a lot of pain for you. if you're going to go on this suicide mission and go back to Eretz Yisrael to accompany me, and you're not going to get a shidduch, no one's going to want to marry you, and what, you think I'm going to go have children, you're going to marry them, you know that's a joke, that's not going to happen. So you're going to be agunos your whole life. I can't bear to see you suffer for the rest of your life, even though I myself am suffering very, very much. This is a very great statement. Ki rav ki mar li me'od mikem.
Don't add to my words.
What? Even though ki yotze be this how the grolo and shan the pasha pshat. Even though ki yotze be yad Hashem. Even though I have my own problems, yotze be yad Hashem, still I have empathy for you. I am mishtatef in your tzar. Marli ma'od mikem. I'm extremely bitter over your situation, and I don't want it to get worse. I want to find for you a solution, and the solution is stay where you are. Stay in Moav. Here you'll find a shidduch. Here you'll be able to go on in life and not get yourself into more trouble. It's tremendous godless of a person to be able to look outside of himself and his own sorrow and see someone else's sorrow. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Yudal. Vatisena koilon, they raised up their voice, vatifkena oid, and they cried more. Vatishak arpo lechamoisa, verus tof kabah. They cried, they raised up their voice, they cried. Arpa, she now departed. She kissed her mother-in-law. It was a kiss of departure. Verus, Dovka ba, but Rus cleaved to her mother-in-law. Let's see Rashi. Pasuk Yudalid. There is no Rashi. Let's jump to the Targum. Pasuk Yudalid. In the Targum. Let me see. Where is the Targum here? Okay, Pasuk Yudalid. Unitalo kolehon, they raised up their voice. Uvichion, and they cried. Od zimna uchrona, another time. So here the Targum adds, Od means in addition to what they cried before. Vinashekasa polachamoisa. Okay, and Arpa kissed her mother-in-law. Verust is dab kaspa, and Rust cleaved to her mother-in-law. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk tes vav vatoymer. Naomi said, "Hinei shavu yivimtech." Naomi is now speaking to Ruth. Shavu yivimtech elamaviel eloiheha. Your daughter-in-law, your sister-in-law, Arpa, she has returned. Elama to her nation, viel eloiheha to her God. Now this is a shocking statement, because nowhere do we find that Arpa. Return to Avodah Zarah. The only thing Arpa said was, Arpa originally wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael and convert. And now when Naomi says, no, it's not in your best interest, so go back home where you came from. Did Naomi ever tell Arpa that she should go worship idols? Of course not. Go back to where you came from and be a ger toishav, be with your family, be a ger toishav, observe the sheva mitzvah spnei Noach, don't worship idols. But when did Naomi, wouldn't dear ever say, suggest to Rus, to Arpa that she should go back and worship idols? And yet here it says, v'hinei shav yivindich el amo, to her people, v'el Elohecha, to her gods, to her religion, shuvi achrei yivimtech, you also do the same thing. And so it's one thing, the question is even greater. Number one is, first of all, how did Naomi even know that it was true? And secondly, even if it was true, how in the world would Naomi advise Ruth to do the same and go become an Oyved Avodah Zarah? So let's first see who the Rashi.
It's a proof that they never converted.
Never converted.
If they had converted with the Jews, how could...
But even if they didn't convert, even if they did not convert, it does not necessarily mean they were Oyved Avodah. Let's see what it says. Okay, let's see what it says in the Rashi. Rashi pasuk tes zof. Hinei shava yivimtech zet tamo. So first he says shava is mil'el. Okay, mil'el means that the accent is on the shin, shava. And when the accent is on the shin, it means in the past tense. Zeh tamo l'mala. And the shin, tachas hashin shava, and not shava, shava. Lefi shuloshin ova. Uva boiker hi, but in Megillas Esther, it says, there it's milera, Why? Because there it's in the present tense. In the morning she would return in the present tense. Tamo lemata, it's mile ra, the base, lefishu loshen hoived, it's in the present tense. V'chein kol kayotze bozeh. These type of differences may ma'akev in the kriyasam megillah. If a person says v'abayker, he shava lo yatsa. You have the Torah also, rochel ba imat sign. And then there's another place where it says ba'a. Ba, so a lot of these things are ma'akev, even though generally Mil'el Mil'ra are not ma'akev. Chassidim are not. Everything by Chassidim is Mil'el. They don't do any Mil'ra. But these are ma'akev. Even the Chassidim who don't do Mil'el Mil'ra must do Uva Boiker Hi Shova. If you do shava lo yatsa, it's not the right word. Here as well, when they lay Megillah on Shavuos, if the Baal Kari makes a mistake and it says that toimer hine shava yivimteich lo yatsa, there's no din yatsa, only a mikla in the Megillah, but it's not the right way to bring the pasuk. It's in ma'akev. You should say vavok hine shava. It's in the past tense. Okay, that's all Rashi says. Now let's see the Targum. Targum adds a little bit more bayer into this pasuk.
Some people that say if you say you are hafta, it's a shem alakefa, you have to repeat it because it means I used to love God, not anymore.
So you have to you have to say in the present tense, you have to not in the past tense. Okay, look at the Targum Pasuk Tezvav. Vanaras ho. And Naomi said, she said, ho, behold. Tevas means returned. Yevimtech, your sister-in-law has returned. Levos ama, to accompany her nation. Ulevos dachlita. Dachlita means her deity, her idol, her avodah zarah. And I advise you, Rus, do the same. Tuvi basar yevimtech li'anech, to return to your nation. Ule dachlisech, and to your deity, to your fear. It means your fear, your God. Now the question over here is, how again, so we go back to our original question, how did she know that she returned? So there, and the partial answer is because in life, there's no such thing as being in the middle. The reality is you are affected by your environment. Even though Rus never would tell Arpa to go worship idols, it is a fact. If you're going to go back to Moab in a land where there's no Yados, there's no Jewish religion, it's inevitable you're going to slip down the slippery slope and become part of the culture and worship idols. And in fact, Chazal said in ancient times, a nation's essence is their religion, is their ideology. If she's going back to her nation, that means she's going back to her ideology, to her avodah zarah. There's nothing, you can't separate the one from the other. Now, as far as the next question, how then can it possibly be that Naomi would tell Rus that you should do the same? So there's a very deep idea that's given by many, many Mufarshim, and they say the same thing. Naomi never meant that Rus should also become an oyve of the zara. She meant go and save your sister-in-law. Naomi recognized that Rus was in a higher spiritual standing than Arpa. Naomi realized that even though one person may not survive in Moab, but two together, each one would be mechazek the other. So to come with me to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have a horrible life here. No one's going to want to marry you. Arpa, going back all alone, when you're all alone in Moab, you're going to become an Ovid Avodah Zarah. You're not going to be able to survive. The best solution for everyone would be go back with your sister-in-law and save her. And together, each one, Rus and Arpa, would be mechazek one the other, and both of you together will be able to survive as a ger toshav, to at least recognize that there's a ribbono shel olam, and maybe perhaps you can influence people of Moab also to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of becoming a full-fledged Jew in Eretz Yisrael, where you're not going to be accepted, you're going to be on the bottom of the ladder, you're going to be pushed away, go back to Moab where you could accomplish something. You alone, you're right, maybe you're not going to be able to accomplish if you're being all alone, but two people together, you know the power of two people? Being alone is very, very hard. You have a partner, you accomplish great things. It's very interesting. A lot of people in business, they say this, is that just having a partner, even if the partner is the biggest nuisance and is the biggest pain, somehow people are very successful. And when they decide, you know what, I don't need you anymore, what do you do? I have a business partner, and my partner is just in my way. What do I need him for? Let me get rid of him. I can go off out on myself and be a lot more successful. It's been proven, many studies, when you're all alone, even if you have a great idea, you've been successful, and you're all alone, it just doesn't go. There's this hashkacha that comes to the world when you have a business partner. When you have a partner, even though one partner is always, there's always a strain on the business, the shutfis somehow brings success. Here as well, you have a partner. Your partner will be Arpa. Together you two can change the world. And you'll accomplish great things. You'll have a legacy. Coming there, so you're going to have nothing. This was a very noble plan. It wasn't just Stam Naomi pushing her away. Get out of my way. I'm giving you a derech. I'm giving you a goal. Something to accomplish. Yeah?
It says, Shava Yivante, went away from her
Yibum.
She decided, okay, she's no longer...
You want to make a drush. Shava Yivimich. From the din of...
She also went back
to her gods.
So what she said is, Shuvi Achra Yivimtach. You can also go out of the status of Yibum, but she didn't say go after
your gods.
I am your god. Because otherwise you could have made an easier puzzle.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
One exception to everything, Yosef Mitzrayim, who was on his own.
He almost fell. He came very, very close. If not for the Siyata Deshmaya, supernatural Siyata Deshmaya, that Yaakov Avinu came, appeared to him in the Mus, Yokno, in the window, he would have also been Nechshol, Chazal said. So in Echonami, you have a support.
Solitary, because it was easier. Not to be mushpa from the other people.
He was all alone, Yosef. He was very dangerous.
All these years alone with the body would have been in trouble.
If you have two people together, there's each one is mechazek the other. That is what Naomi here was telling us. Okay, now there's another fascinating idea I came across in the Sefer Mishpatzei Zahav. Arpa leaves. Where did Arpa go? What became of Arpa? So if you take the pasuk at face value, you assume Arpa went back to the land of Moab. But we know that Arpa, Chazal the Medrash says, the night when she left, she had relations with 100 people. She fell off a cliff. She went down from the Kedusha, even though she was not Megayer, according to Rashi and according to the Targum, she was still not Jewish, but she still was under the influence of Naomi, under the influence of Ali Melech, Nachlin and Chilya, and there was some degree of a religion, some moral standing. And now when she left, the higher you go, the lower you fall, she sunk to the worst of the worst. She fathered, either was the grandmother or was the mother of Goliath. Goliath was the arch enemy of Klal Yisrael. He was Mechadif and Megadif for 40 days. He prevented Klal Yisrael from reciting Kriyashma. The whole Zman Kriyashma, he was there screaming and terrorizing, shooting bombs, missiles, the entire Zman Kriyashma. So Klal Yisrael should not have the Yishuvah asked to recite Kriyashma. He was a terrible person. Who was Goliath? Goliath is always described as Goliath HaPlishti. HaPlishti. Goliath came from Gas. Gas is the capital of the Plishtim. The Plishtim have absolutely nothing to do with Moab. So we have a very big problem. The problem is, it says here that Yevama has returned. She has gone back to her nation, who is Moab. And we don't find Arpa going back to Moab. We find Moab going to the Plishtim. She appears later on in Tanakh as being a chosh of a citizen, a celebrity in the nation of the Plishtim, not in Moab. So what happened? So the Mishnah Zov says, the truth is she went back to Moab. But once you had dealings, you saw the real thing. Once you had the experience of living with Naomi, Elimelech, Nachum, Chilion, and you go back to Moab, and you see them bowing down to idols. You can't. This is a joke. You know, it's like they say a lot of people are Rachman al son go off the derech. They don't go to conservative shuls. They don't go. The people who come from good stock come from the real thing. and Rachman Litzlan, they go off the Derech, they don't go to Reform, they don't go to Conservative, and Eretz Yisrael, it's not very strong, because you know the real thing. I'm not going to settle for this. It's either the real thing, or it's nothing. In Eretz Yisrael, it's the real thing. There's so much Kedusha, so Rachman Litzlan, unfortunately, almost 70% of the population is not religious, not Shabbat HaMitzvos. They don't have much of a problem with Reform and Conservative. And there is a problem, of course, but not like in America, not like in Chutz Yaretz, because the people, they have a certain sense, if I'm going to be religious, I'm going to be Orthodox. I'm not going to settle for this make-believe religion that people invent. This is exactly the same thing that Arpa suffered from. She was exposed to the real deal, to Elimelech, Machlon, Chilion, Naomi, and now when she goes to Moab, it's the land of make-believe. She couldn't live here. So where did she go? There's only one place you can go. You have to go to a land of denial, the Pelishtim. Chazal say the essence of the Pelishtim are their Leitzonim. Leitzonus. What is Leitzonus? Leitzonus is basically to deny reality. A Leitz says you take something that's real and you make nothing out of it. The only place she could find for herself is in the Pelishtim. Because the essence of the Pelishtim are Leitzonim. They are Leitzonim. I don't have all the psukim in front of me. By Shimshon, we find the Yekumu Letzachik, the Leitzonis is, I'm willing to brainwash myself, I'm denying reality. That's the only place Arpa can find herself after experiencing the real deal. She went to Moav. Moav, she saw, I can't live like this. She Mimela, I'm not going to go back to Eretz Yisrael. I have to rewire myself. And that's why she found herself in the land of the Pelishtim.
Maybe that's why by Yitzchok Avinu says when
Mitzachik.
Of Mitzachik
of a Leitzonis, to deny reality. That's right. Very good. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Tes Zayin. Vatoymer Rus Al Tifki Ivi. Do not entreat me. Tifki means Lashon of Tfila. Do not try to persuade me. Okay, does Tifki mean? Does means to hit? Tifki means a pegia. It means don't. This word is used for Tfila when you mispalel. What? He was mispalo. So it means to persuade. What are we doing when we're davening? We're persuading a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What?
They translate it as
urge, but it's even richer than the word urge. It's more of a persuasion. Don't try to tifkivi to persuade me, liazvech to abandon you, loshuv me acharech to return.
Don't
badger me. Okay? Call ki el asher telchi elech v'asher tolini. So we have a long pasuk, a very long targum to the place where el asher telchi elech, where you go, elech I will go. V'asher tolini, where you lodge, olin. Amech, your people, ami. V'eloi hayich, and your God, Eloi koi, is my God.
You, when you does that mean you don't accept Geron, even though?
No, only you don't accept them as Geron. That's right.
So how could if she thought that Amoni includes Ammonia, so how could she say Halakai Halakai?
Okay, so it's a very good question. You asked me a really really tough question. The simple answer is that it was already known, it was already accepted that Moyavi v'loy Moyavis. The concept already existed. It just was not mainstream. There was the Yechidim, Das Yochid. Mainstream Klal Yisrael. What?
The Beis Din of Shmuel had actually decided on that already. It was widely known and accepted.
It wasn't accepted.
The whole
thing. This goes on from the time that this goes on. So therefore...
Yeah. 100 years.
Ain't no chanami. It was much later, but this was the Boaz was the one that issued the psak. Even before Boaz issued the psak, it was already known such a solution to the problem. We're always looking for a solution. We have a solution. There is a tradition. There's a mesorah. Mayavi v'le mayavis. Is it accepted? Well, it appears at this point in time, maybe by a small group. So among that small group, that Shevet, you'll have a place to live. But the whole Klal Yisrael, no. To be a Melech in Klal Yisrael, no. That far you can't go. Maybe the fringe elements of Klal Yisrael, they will let them get away with it. But not to become a Melech. So that's a very tough question.
Are you saying that when a Goy worships Hashem,
yeah,
isn't that his God too, the same God that we worship?
It's the same God. The Goy worships HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. Why can't you say that? God is my God.
It's not the same. It's not. There's a, I don't know if it's a joke, or Avigdor Miller used to say, ask him a question, are you allowed to take money into the bathroom? On the dollar bill, it says, in God we trust.
Right. You give it to me, I'll watch it.
So Avigdor Miller said, I don't remember the exact, but he says, what they wrote in God we trust, the way they understand God is not the way we understand God. It's true. It's all the same God. They're different madregos.
Right.
But the madrega of how a non-Jew relates to our HaKadosh Baruch, there's only one God.
Yeah.
Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad,
yeah,
is not on the same dimension, the same depth as what we understand. When you now take a shame into the base, like you say, it means a shame that's written from the perspective, from the understanding of a Yehudi. So of course, there's only one God, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. There's a mitzvah, there are Zion mitzvahs, B'nei Noyach, and they have an obligation to live in Kodesh Baruch Hu, but it's not called the Elokei Yisroel. There's something called Elokei Yisroel, the God of the Jewish people.
The Treasury Secretary is Jack Lew.
Jack Lew. Okay. So you want to say, his signature gives new Kedusha to God we trust. Interesting. Interesting. That's an interesting idea.
Very hard issue, Rabbi.
Okay, you're touching upon. His signature is not very. His signature is not very. You see a signature? It's a squiggle. Okay, you're touching upon something. Let me see if I could find it in the Nusach on Rosh Hashanah. You have a good point. I want to see if I can find it very quickly.
It could be the Declaration of Independence.
A very hard thing, because when you start...
Here it is, okay. Let me answer your question with not a full answer. On Rosh Hashanah, look at the Nusach. We mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Neloich al kol ha'olam kuloi b'chvaydecha. Who is that? Only us?
No,
the whole world, including the non-Jews.
Kol
olam kulo bichvaydecha. Vihinase, and may you Hashem, may you be elevated. Al kol aretz bikorecha, with your glory. Viyeda kol pool. Every creature should know ki atof alto, that you are the creator. Viyavin kol yitzur ki ato yitzartoi. Right? That's a globe, that's a universal concept. Universal. And then, so we should really stop the piyut right here. Right? We should stop. There's nothing more you can possibly say. But then the piyut goes on further. V'yoymer kol asher neshama v'yapo, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of the Jewish people. Melech is the king of Malchusa b'kol mashallah. So what's going on? What do you mean, Yom HaKolah? You already reached the highest level. The Yeda Kol Pol Kiyata Pa'alta, the Yavin Kol Yitzur Kiyata Yitzarta. What more is there to say? The answer is there is more to say. There is the Ribbono Shel Olam being the God of the entire world, but Klal Yisrael enjoys a special, unique connection. So good, Rus, you can go back, you can be worship of the Shbaruch Hu in the land of Moab, in the land of the Polish, wherever you want to go, you can go. But you're not going to be, it's not going to be Hashem Elokei Yisrael. She wanted to be able to say Hashem Elokei Yisrael, to have that higher Madrega. Where do you, these are very deep things, which I don't know, but there is such a division of Hashem over the entire world, and a higher level of Hashem being Hashem over the Klal Yisrael. Alright, okay, we have to stop here because it's out of time, but this is a very important pasuk, and a very long Rashi, and a very long Targum, we'll leave for tomorrow.